Good morning, my friends, and welcome to this special time together on the power of positive purpose. This is Dr. J. Scott Neal of the Center for Spiritual Living in Fremont, and I do welcome you with love as we start our day today. Someone asked, what is the science of mind? Dr. Ernest Holmes, in a wonderful article he wrote called The Essence of Science of Mind, wrote this: science of mind, in its broadest and truest sense, includes the best in science, religion, and philosophy. Science of mind is not a personal opinion, nor is it a special revelation. It is the result of the best thought of the age. It borrows much of its light from others, but in so doing does not rob anyone, for truth is universal and never personal. We need the entire revelation of the whole world, and even with this we shall have little enough. The universe is impersonal. It gives alike to all. It is no respecter of persons. It values each alike. The philosopher, the priest and professor, the humanitarian and the empire builder, all have caught some gleam of the eternal glory, and each has spoken in his own tongue that language which is, of itself, universal. Science of mind does not scoff at the works of medical science, for instance. They both work to help and heal humanity. Science of mind is a complement to medical science, and when so understood and practiced, will help heal the world of its physical infirmities. The world of knowledge needs to be knit together and not pulled apart. We have no objection to any form of healing. What we insist on is there can be no permanent healing of the body without a corresponding permanent poise in the mental and emotional life. Psychosomatic medicine has shown that mental disturbances, conscious or subjective, produce physical reactions in the body. If the body is to be permanently well, one's mental life must be creative, peaceful, and happy. This is the purpose of any mental healing, whether it be approached from the psychological or the metaphysical angle. Psychology and metaphysics are but two ends of the same thing. They must meet somewhere in consciousness and merge into a perfect unit. Science of mind teaches that there is a favorable reaction, physical reaction, an effect, which follows a pattern of thought, incorporating ideas of health, for the law of cause and effect governs everything. Similarly, it is held that right thinking will result in a greater experience of success and abundance. A successful person thinks success, and the law of mind that reacts has no other choice but to produce an effect corresponding to the causative idea. The road to freedom lies not through mystery nor occult performances, but through the intelligent use of natural forces and laws. The law of mind is a natural law in the spiritual world. We need not ask why this is so. There can be no reason given as to why the truth is true. We do not create laws and principles, but discover and make use of them. Let us accept this position relative to the law of mind and spirit and see what we can do with it, rather than how we may contradict the inevitable. Our mind and spirit is our echo of the eternal thing itself. And the sooner we discover this fact, the sooner we shall be made free and happy. God, the universal life force and energy running through everything, is an intelligent presence pervading all space, a self-existent cause, a perfect unit, a complete wholeness. The unthinking would believe that God is a spirit who keeps books and checks up on the wrongdoings of each individual member of the human race, and that he sends some to heaven and some to hell, all for his glory. Each according to his own light has believed in the kind of God who best fitted his or her personal ideas, or in the idea of God that has been imposed upon them by ignorant and superstitious leaders. But ever there has been the voice of those crying in the wilderness of superstition, ignorance, doubt, and fear, the voice of those who have thought the thing through to conclusions that have been independent of race belief, of the subtleties of religious dogma, and of theological superstitions. These have been the wayshowers of humanity, and millions have lighted candles from their flame. But the world progresses slowly. Evolution and the growth of knowledge and wisdom is a process of time and experience. In older times, an intelligent few understood much deeper truths than were known by the multitudes. But the common people were thrown a few crumbs from the table of those who were in the know. These crumbs were shrouded in mystery, symbol, word picture, and parable. Perhaps this was the only way in which wisdom could have been taught at all. In principle, the great religions of the world do not differ as much as they appear to. Stripped of their accumulation of adornments and observances and incrustations of interpretations, it is found that each acknowledges that there is one central power, force, or God, which is self-existent, and it is from this one power that all things emanate. All of life flows from it, and is a part of it. Nothing can exist separate from it. The Christian interpretation of the ultimate nature of the creative source of the universe places more emphasis on the life of the individual as being an integral part of the one life. For this reason, an intelligent understanding of the fundamental concepts of Christianity has had a greater appeal to the progressing people of the world. But even in the Christian religion, much of its real meaning is hidden by words that are misleading and symbols that but a few understand. We can scarcely find a greater riddle to solve than the meaning of the Holy Trinity. Also, most people either reject the Bible entirely or accept it totally and literally. Both these methods are mistakes. Religion is the human's idea of God, and the Bible is written and is a written declaration of the belief in God held by a great race of people, the Jews. It is, in many respects, the greatest book ever written, and does truly point a way to eternal values. But it is only one explanation and cannot be considered the only light on religion, for there are many others which, taken together, weave the story of truth into a complete and unified pattern. The many sacred books of the East contain other Bibles which point the way to the truth, but each is only another way and cannot be considered to be the way. All races have had their religions and have had their Bibles. All have pointed a way to ultimate values. But can we say that any of them has pointed the way? It is unreasonable to suppose that any one person or race encompasses all the truth and alone can reveal the way of life to others. This viewpoint does not apply to other forms of knowledge, but seems to be adopted only when dealing with religion, and it is a great mistake. The world is tired of mysteries, does not understand symbols, and longs for reality. What is the truth? Where may it be found? And how used? These are the questions that an intelligent person asks, and he must have an answer. He may find his answer in the study of the science of mind. Shorn of dogmatism, freed from superstition, open at the top for greater illumination, unbound and unlimited, science of mind offers the student of life the most understandable and intelligent approach that the world has seen and that the world has so far achieved.
This is Reverend Dr. Cynthia Neal of the Center for Spiritual Living in Fremont. How many of you have read Women, Food, and God by Janine Roth? If you haven't read it, perhaps you've seen the author on Oprah recently and thought to yourself, now there's a book I really need to read. If you have read it, you know how absolutely amazing it is. And if you haven't yet, you need to stop what you're doing and go to your bookseller or online and buy it right away. In that regard, I have an exciting announcement, which is I will be facilitating a free 4-week book study based on Janine Roth's Women, Food, and God. Please mark your calendars for Sunday, August 22nd and 29th, and September 5th and 12th. From 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. I have more than 20 years of experience working with food addiction and spirituality. I plan to create a loving, supportive environment in which we can study and discuss this powerful and life-changing book. There is no charge for this event, and it's open to everyone, including men, but space is limited, so I ask that you register online at www.csl-fremont.org and click the link on the right that says Women, Food, and God. Or if you don't have internet access, simply call our office at 510-656-9955. I really hope to see you there. And now, back to the power of positive purpose with Dr. J. Scott Neal.
Intellectual freedom and religious liberty are necessary to the unfolding spirit in the human. Whatever is true is free to all alike. We cannot cover the infinite with a finite blanket. It refuses to be concealed. God has no favorites and knows no privileged class. Science of mind reads every person's Bible and gleans the truth contained therein. It studies all people's knowledge and draws from each that which is self-evident. Only that which is self-evident can stand the test of reason and time without criticism, without judgment, but by true discrimination, that which is true and provable must be discovered and put to practical use. And it may be discovered and put to practical use. We should take truth wherever we find it, making it our very own, borrowing knowledge of reality from all sources, taking the best from every study. Science of mind brings together the highest enlightenment of the ages. As we approach a consideration of science of mind in relationship to our daily living, we need not consider it as being deep, abstract, or probably beyond our ability to fully understand, although it necessarily is founded on great truths. At the same time, it is very simple. All too often, we tend to complicate our thoughts and ideas rather than keeping them simple and usable. Let us remember as we progress to keep our minds open to new ideas and be ready to accept old ideas which have been shorn of their outworn cloaks. We want to be happy and willing to learn more about ourselves, to discover more of that life of which we are a part, and at the same time to ascertain the nature of the law through which it makes itself manifest. We do live in a spiritual universe, a universe that is intelligent and creative. And it is a thing of law and order. It is God's universe, a divine idea and thought that has become manifest. God becoming that which God has created through the law of God's nature. It is one stupendous whole, with God as both cause and effect, idea and manifestation, and the law by which one becomes the other are all one in the inherent nature of God. The human is an individualized center of God-conscious life, a point in the infinite sea of life, and an intelligent self-knowing point. The human being is the outcome of God's desire to express itself as individuality. The whole meaning of experience is to promote this individuality and thus to provide a fuller channel for the expression of the Supreme Spirit of the universe. We note that through the ages, people have been healed by the power of faith, which is a practice of every religion. There is a law governing this possibility, else it could never happen. It is the business of science mind to view the facts, evaluate the cause, and in so doing provide a definite knowledge of the law which governs the facts. What one does when a person prays is they talk to God. Where do they talk to God? They talk to God through their own mind, through their own thought and feeling. It is quite impossible for one to talk to God outside of themselves, for they cannot go outside themselves. Whatever God a person talks to is their own thought or approached through their own thinking, feeling, and knowing. The person then who asks God for abundance asks God in their own mind. God answers through their affairs or their life. But some have asked God for money for some worthy purpose and have not received an answer to their prayers. Indeed, to be perfectly truthful, can we suppose that God is or can be more interested in one good deed than another? This would be dangerously near making the divine being more limited in thought than we are. But the fact remains that many prayers relative to worthy purposes have been answered. It must be that the answer to prayer is in the prayer when it is prayed, and not in the inclination or the disinclination of God to answer some prayers and not others. God answers prayer according to law and order, the immutable law and order of the universe. Prayer is a thought, a belief, a feeling, arising within the mind of the one praying. This feeling becomes a complete belief and a perfect acceptance when the mind is most completely in tune with the infinite. The mind is most completely in tune with the infinite when the emotions are most constructively aroused. The highest faith comes from the greatest spiritual awareness. The prayer of faith is answered because the prayer of faith admits of an answer, while the prayer of unbelief does not admit of one. Perfect faith is a unqualified acceptance of the desired result, and this acceptance is a mental attitude which cannot be shaken by any objective evidence to the contrary. The prayer of faith looks through the apparent condition to a perfect fulfillment. Prayer is a mental attitude aspiring toward God as the great giver of all. Faith is the acceptance that God has given or is now giving. Prayer and faith are both mental attitudes. A continual prayer of faith repudiates all that contradicts the desired end and culminates in positive acceptance. When prayer removes distrust and doubt and enters the field of mental certainty, it becomes faith, and the universe is built on faith. The mind will soar to new heights when fired by a potent constructive emotion. This explains why people with high spiritual emotions generally receive the most direct answers to their prayers. It matters not what stimulates the emotion, so long as it is constructive and agrees with its ideal. The intellect is a cold thing, and a merely intellectual idea will never stimulate thought in the same manner as a spiritual idea does. It so happens, or the universe is so organized, that it is quite impossible for us to arouse the highest emotion and the most creative ones without using the highest ideals. These ideals are always what we call religious or spiritual. But spirituality and religion are not to be thought of as either unnatural or supernatural. Spirituality means dependence on the spirit. Religion concerns beliefs in God. Both are normal and quite natural to the average person. God gives some more than others because some accept more than others. The divine giver itself knows nothing about size. Prayer should build up a greater acceptance of God's life, truth, and action, and when it does, the response will be commensurate with the highest acceptance. When the whole emotion is aroused and the mental acceptance is complete, the answer will be certain. The law has not changed, but has responded in a different way. In an effort to discover more fully the nature of prayer, it becomes a matter of finding out more about the processes of thought and emotions, which are the ingredients of prayer. In order to do this, it is a case of ascertaining the nature of mind in action, which easily and quickly resolves itself into a science of mind. The universal mind contains all knowledge. It is the potential ultimate of all things. To it, all things are possible. To us, as much is possible as we conceive according to law. Should all the wisdom of the universe be poured over us, we should yet receive only that which we are ready to understand. This is why some draw from one type of knowledge and some another, and all from the same source. The source of all knowledge. The scientist discovers the principle of his science. The artist embodies the spirit of their art. The saint draws spiritual awareness unto their being, all because they have courted the particular presence of some definite concept. Each state of consciousness taps the same source, but has a different receptivity. Each receives what they ask for, according to their ability to embody. In this way, the universe is infinite. The possibility of differentiating is limitless. We waste much time in arguing over things which cannot be answered. When we have arrived at the ultimate, it is the way that things work. We can no more do without religion than we can do without food, shelter, or clothing. Indeed, the religious instinct is so firmly implanted that it is inseparable from the life and living. According to our belief in God will be our estimate of life here and hereafter. We live in a universe of spirit and of law. From the one we are to draw inspiration, from the other to utilize power. Each is a complement of the other. Both are necessary to existence. Let us look toward the high goal of lasting attainment, fearless and happy. Let us live in the present, looking neither backward in horror nor forward with apprehension, but looking into the present with joy, abiding in faith. Thus, my friends, is the essence of the science of mind. Thank you for starting your day with me this morning.
This is Dr. J. Scott Neal of the Center for Spiritual Living in Fremont, thanking you for sharing this time with me this morning, inviting you to join with us every Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11:30, every Wednesday evening at 7:30. Very easy to get to from anywhere in the Bay Area. Just come down the Nimitz Freeway, Highway 880, turn on the Stevenson exit in Fremont, go about 3 blocks, you'll see the Arco station, take a right into the parking lot. If you come and see us on Sunday or Wednesday, come by and say hello to me and let me know you heard about it on the radio.
Thank you for listening. If you have enjoyed Dr. J. Scott Neal on the Power of Positive Purpose, you might like to know this radio program is based on his book by the same title. To download a free chapter, log on to our website at www.csl-fremont.org/the book. This program is made possible by the generous donations of our listeners. If you would like to support Dr. J. Scott Neal's presence on the air, visit our website at www.csl-fremont.org and click the button on the right-hand side that says Contribute Online. Even a small donation of $10 or $20 can go a long way toward making this program possible. And any contribution you make, of course, is tax deductible. If you do not have internet access, feel free to call our office at 510-656-9955. We appreciate you listening and invite you to join us on the first and third Wednesday of each month at 7:30 a.m. right here on KEST 1450 a.m. or streaming live on the web at www.kestradio.com.